Our scripture reading for this morning will come from the book of Romans, chapter 3, beginning with verse 19. Romans, chapter 3, beginning with verse 19, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God He passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is He not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since indeed God will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith is one. Do we then nullify the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. Peter says that there are some things that Paul writes that are difficult. Perhaps this is one of those passages. We'll do our best with it. What makes the perfect gift? I guess that would depend upon the individual that's receiving it, the occasion, and perhaps even the pocketbook, how much you can afford. What was your best birthday ever? How old were you at that time? What'd you get? I would assume that the gift you received, if it was your best birthday, was something that you really wanted. But perhaps it was a surprise. In our household, at least for the boys growing up, we expected on our 10th birthday a BB gun. Now, I'm not sure that that same tradition was quite as important to our daughter Teresa, but she got a BB gun on her 10th birthday. Also a cabbage patch. The best gift ever. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. God is a great giver of gifts. We're going to focus upon being justified as a gift through God's grace. We understand that the best gifts that we can give as individuals is a gift of self-sacrifice in our friendships, in our relationships, most specifically in marriage as well as in parenting. But we also give of ourselves gifts that transcend when we join the military or become a law enforcement officer or a community servant like a firefighter or an EMT. Have you ever donated a kidney? We know someone, don't we, that has recently given a kidney to his daughter. Perhaps you carry around with you a donor card so that if your body is still in good enough shape when you die, that your eyes and heart and liver and lungs, skin and bone can be passed on to another. Those are pretty good gifts. God gives us gifts every day. James says in James chapter 1 in verse 17, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Daily we receive our bread. Jesus said to pray for that. Give us this day our daily bread. The sun comes up. We receive the sunrise as a gift. Our home, our health, our family, our freedoms, all gifts from God. Why does God care? Because we are His children. He is our Father. He is the one who is taking care of us. Yet the most perfect gift that God can give is found in His Son, in Jesus. Looking again at that passage in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, being justified as a gift by His grace. I have written out on the marquee, justified, God's greatest gift. And then on the other side, just as if I had never sinned, justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Forgiveness is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Turn with me to hymn number 631. 631. Know me, Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your Spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power, send us grace. Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your Spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power, send us grace. It's wonderful to have a Father that listens to our requests and to our prayers. And what a wonderful God He is and Father. Send us love, send us power, send us grace. And we need grace, don't we? This passage here in Romans chapter 3, as we're going to detail as we look at it a little bit closer, shows the contrast between man and God and between the law and faith in Jesus Christ. There is quite the distinction to be made. Man cannot be good enough to receive salvation, to be justified. No, it's a gift. Being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. As Paul writes this letter to the church at Rome, it's several years, as we've mentioned before he visits there himself and then as a prisoner. But as he writes to them, he wants them to understand that it's in Jesus that one now finds oneness with God. By faith in Christ Jesus, there is forgiveness of sins. But he wants them to also to clearly see that it's undeserved. It is a gift. It is something that God has decided to bless us with, not something that we deserve. Did you know it was always such? You say, no, there was the law for 1,500 years. But even in the law, it simply demonstrated that man couldn't earn forgiveness. By his works, he would never attain perfection. That's why you had the sacrifices that were there. All the way through the Bible, clear back to the time of Adam and Eve and their sons, God instituted blood sacrifices to pay for sins. Because the penalty of sin is death. Paul says later on in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And we want to talk about those things that bring about death under the law. The wages of sin is death. If we received what we deserve, we would not have salvation. We would not have hope of heaven. But the free gift of God is redemption, is salvation that's found only in Christ Jesus. Eternal life is ours because God has wrapped it up and put it in a bow and given us Jesus Christ as the one who pays the debt that we owe, that we can't pay on our own. Justification is forgiveness. It's the removal of guilt, just as if I'd never sinned. Salvation, then, is hope, hope of eternal life. Heaven is within my grasp because of God's grace. Give us love, give us power, give us grace. So what was the law all about? Well, the scriptures reveal that the Jews had an advantage over people of the world for that 1,500 years. In this same chapter, verse 2 of Romans chapter 3, first of all, that they were entrusted with the oracles of God. Because of the law, they were able to see what God expected of them. It was in black and white. The Ten Commandments, love or honor your mother and your father, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet. Those detailed, over 600 laws, those detailed what God expected of man. And man, the list was long, and man couldn't keep it. Therefore, God, through sacrifices, which had been instituted long before the time of Moses, showed that man required propitiation. A life had to be paid. And the animal sacrifices anticipated the ultimate sacrifice, which was in Jesus Christ when he died upon the cross. His blood covered all sins, going backwards at the present and going forward, because he is the only perfect sinless sacrifice. So the law was witnessed to, or the law witnessed to, the coming of Jesus Christ. It was anticipated. And God all along planned for the law to be temporary. Moses had said, there will come one like me from among you. You must listen to him. And that was at the very instituting of the Old Testament, of the old law. And so now we're going to look at the distinctions that Paul makes, and then we'll go back and pick up and see them with regards to the gospel. But the distinctions that Paul makes about the insufficiency of the law in these verses that we've just read. Look at verse 20. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. Later on, as we've read, he's going to say that justification is a gift. If it's a gift, then you can't earn it. It's God blessing you with something that you don't deserve. By the works of the law, no man will be justified. We might say to God, well, give it to me in black and white. Just tell me what it is that I must do in the sense of how I can walk with you. The problem is, he has done that. It was a 1,500-year demonstration of that, that man cannot keep the law. By works of the law, no man is justified, because no man can perfectly, save Jesus Christ, God in human form, no man can perfectly perform the law. No flesh will be justified in his sight by works, is what verse 20 says. In fact, it is apart from the law, a couple of verses here, first verse 22. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. Apart from the law, the righteousness of God is revealed by or through faith in Jesus Christ. So you can't be saved by your works because you can't perfectly do what the law requires. And it's not through the law anyway that the righteousness of God is revealed. No, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested through faith in Jesus Christ. And then again in verse 28, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Now for a Jew such as the Apostle Paul, and there were Jews within the church there at Rome that are receiving this letter, this is quite a change to be made. It's not that all that they have learned under the law is worthless. No. It complements what they now know about Jesus Christ. But really what the law does is it specifies that man can't do it. It's not by works. It is by faith, and faith solely in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. Justified apart from the law. What this establishes then in verse 29 is that God is not simply the God of the Jews, but of the Gentiles also. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. What we sometimes miss is this is not a nullifying of the law, but a fulfilling of it. It has served its purpose. Paul describes it in Galatians chapter 3 as being a tutor. It's like elementary school for mankind to bring them to graduation, which is faith in Christ Jesus. This is from Galatians 3, beginning with verse 24. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. He's going to get into Abraham a little later in this letter, sooner than you think, to the Roman brethren. But here, the law fulfills or brings us up to the point of understanding who Christ is, as a tutor would prep the young student before he goes into his established occupation. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under the tutor. It's imperative that we understand that distinction, that no longer by the law of Moses can one have salvation. It is through faith in Christ Jesus. By works of the law, verse 20, no flesh will be justified. Apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested. God is the God of the Jew and the Gentile, and the Gentile no longer has to convert to the law, but simply come to Christ in faith. As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Faith is salvation. Looking now at the positive aspects within these same verses. The righteousness of God is revealed through faith in Christ Jesus. As you come to know Jesus, you come to know what God expects of you to do what is right and to receive salvation. Paul had said earlier in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. The law is still valuable. We study the Old Testament. We understand how it demonstrates the nature and the character of God throughout creation and the bringing up of the Jewish people. But it all points to Christ. Now in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. And to understand that is paramount. No longer by the law, no longer by works of the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus. having been made known at the appropriate time. Verse 24 of Romans chapter 3, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. It's Jesus' blood that redeems, and only His. No longer the blood of bulls and goats, but propitiation is God's to give, and it is a gift. Verse 25, talking about Jesus and His blood, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God He passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Those animal sacrifices in the Old Testament anticipated the ultimate sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. God is not bound by time. It was not that the blood of animals was sufficient to cover the sins of man, though it was what God had stipulated. But all along, God knew that His Son's blood would go back from the cross to cover all the sins of mankind previously, and go forward from the cross to cover our sins today when we walk by faith in Christ Jesus and are baptized into His name. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. It's quite the plan, isn't it? Not by the blood of animals, not by works, no, but by faith. At the present time, God brings about justification as a gift. We don't earn it, through His Son's blood. Verse 28, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Saul's life, Saul of Tarsus, was focused upon persecuting Christians. He had letters in his pocket of authority to go to Damascus and arrest Christians, bring them back to Jerusalem, and try to get them to recant, if not cause them to be martyrs. God stopped him. Jesus intervened, didn't He? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Go into Damascus, and there it will be told you what to do. That demonstrates a Jewish man who was faithful to the law in need of salvation. Because as Ananias comes to him, he says, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins. Recorded for us in a reaccount by Paul in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Wash away your sins. I thought he was a faithful Jew, but he was lost in his sins because the law was no longer in effect. Jesus' death upon the cross, the Holy Spirit descending on the day of Pentecost, had introduced a new dispensation. The power of God now through the blood of His Son brought about forgiveness. And they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you too shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Salvation now through Christ's blood. Arise and be baptized, Ananias said, and wash away your sins. Paul describes that as a circumcision of faith. This is from Colossians chapter 2. Verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. That was from Galatians chapter 2. Verses 20 and 21. What is it that Paul is saying? Only in Christ is there life. Only in Him apart from the law. Now that passage in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Through this act of going down into the watery grave, as Paul will describe it in chapter 6 of Romans, through that act of baptism, you were circumcised by faith. The putting away of the filth of the flesh, well, it was the cleansing of the soul of sin. Peter had said in 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 21, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of the dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The perfect gift. Justified. God's greatest gift. Just as if I'd never sinned. The best gift you've ever received is a spiritual one from God. He gives all men the opportunity to come to know His Son, Jesus. To accept by faith that He provides forgiveness of sins. To be baptized in His name for the forgiveness of those sins, putting Christ on so that we might live as a child of God for the rest of our earthly days. God blesses us with every good and perfect gift. Our bread, our day, our homes, our health, our family, our freedoms. But His greatest gift is the opportunity for salvation. The perfect gift. One that no one should reject.